Our guest today, Albert Hammond Jr., is a guitarist in the New York City band The Strokes. He met lead singer Julian Casablancas when he was 13 at school in Switzerland and later got together in The Strokes. Albert is also the son of Albert Hammond, who had the soft rock hit in the 70s, It Never Rains in Southern California. His new solo album is called Yours to Keep. Matt Romano, who served as The Strokes' drum tech and is the drummer in Albert's solo project, is also here in the Cafe studio. Jim McGuinn talks with Albert. The interview begins with Jim asking Albert how the solo album fits in to the evolution of The Strokes' career.
Yeah, we were taking time off before we recorded the next record anyways. I just happened to have a record. It's a coincidence, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It works out really well.
Yeah, I wasn't even gonna tour it. I was just gonna put it out in the UK and not even do any press for it. So, to even be here is already a funny step in what this album is and what we're doing. You know, I should be at home relaxing.
So it's been sort of like an accidental positive, more positive than you expected.
Well, yeah, just things started just like building and building, so it just started changing. You know, like let's do this, let's try this, and then keep on trying stuff and. And, you know, things seem to work, so you just keep on going with it. It's exciting, you know? It's not... I guess we'd never played live, so we didn't know what it was going to be like. And then when we started doing it and started getting better, it was like, well, it's getting different offers. It was like, we got to try it, and we can't... I feel like it would be silly to say no and not do it.
Yeah. I think anyone that would expect your record to sound like a Strokes album is going to be in for a big surprise. I mean, your voice is... sometimes when people step out from being a guitar player to singing, you know, you don't know what the voice is going to be like. And I think your voice is both sweet and warm and powerful, much more than...
Thank you.
You know, I was like really pleasantly surprised when I heard the record, you know, because there was, I guess, a lowered expectations. Have you found that elsewhere from people or...?
A lot of people have been saying they've been like really pleasantly surprised with not only the record, but after seeing a show, they're like, wow, like that was like not what I thought it was going to be. And I was like, did you think you were going to suck?
Our own friends were like, remember when I played on the record, like we had six songs, wasn't even mixed. They're all like worried they were going to have to lie to me and tell me that they liked it, you know? And afterwards they're like, oh man, I was so worried I was going to have to lie. This is like really good.
Yeah.
What? I hate you. Get out of my house.
I wasn't expecting that. I was like, did you think we would suck? I don't get it.
And it was that's a good thing to me. I don't think there should be, you know, I think it's much easier to come from that than I don't want people to be like, blow me away. And then like, right. I mean, how do you blow someone away like that? It's like, you know, I feel like it fits into something where you might like it or you might not. And I think if you like it or you find something interesting in it, then it can be really exciting. And if you don't, then, you know, I'm not going to sit here and spend my time trying to convince you.
So yeah.
Keep on, you know, trying to make new stuff and maybe somehow you find more people or you can see, you know, you could expand your whatever that way, you know. But, you know, it's not like... I said it. Running in circles over here.
Well, it seems like it'd be easier in a way because there's sort of less expectations, so there's less pressure, so you can kind of just let it be what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like to let it be what it is.
So you're Albert Hammond Jr., and for those that don't know, your father is Albert Hammond, who was a songwriter and an artist who had a couple of hits. The big hit as an artist was It Never Rains in Southern California. And what was that like for you? What was your childhood like?
I don't know. I was happy, I guess. I went to school. I burned things. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Were you constantly surrounded with music? And, I mean, do you think your childhood was...
I guess... No, not really. I just feel like people think when your parent does something, like you live this lifestyle surrounded by it. I mean, I guess maybe when I was younger and he was doing stuff, but when I was a year or two old, but I don't remember that. But as I got older, I kind of was, you know, just a kid hanging out, and he would just be doing his thing, and I didn't really care.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's more like, you know, and then I kind of just discovered it on my own music, and it was kind of funny because when I told him, he kind of laughed at me because he said, that's what I do. And I was like, well, but yeah, I mean, it was, I think what he created more, what I remember more is that a certain kind of discipline and a certain, like, whenever I said I wanted to do something, he just made sure I knew that it took a lot of work and it wasn't easy, and almost like make it so hard that it was, if I didn't love it, I would go away from it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the thing that I was surrounded with most, you know?
And you went to school, in boarding school in Switzerland, right?
Yeah, for like 8 months, yeah.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Because I was just thinking of what it would be like to be a kid and be in Switzerland. Like, how would you find music, and what, you know, what were the kids like there?
I kind of got into it right after I left the school. You know, I was into it like right as I went to the school, but still at that age. I don't know. Some people find it younger and they have focus. I just didn't have focus still at that age. Like when I got back to LA, I was like 14. Started to find more focus. Like it was even like 16. I started to find more focus. You know.
I think it's okay to, you know, that it took you all the way to 16 to get focus, you know?
Well, it was just like, I just remember looking back and being like, I remember like slightly thinking about music for a second, but not having the, I'm glad I didn't start fully and put all my energy into it, because I probably would have stopped, you know what I mean? Because I wouldn't have had a real like foundation or a real like understanding or love for it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Why did you go to school in Switzerland in the first place? Why did that come about?
Oh, most things come about when you're a kid like that, you know, your dad has a friend who had a friend who went there, or just like he never had that experience, so he just thought like, hey, do you want to go check out this experience? And I was just like, you know, I trust my dad, and so I was like, all right, I'll go see what it's like. And just it was very intense and made me grow up very fast, but in the end I just wasn't for me, you know? But it was good. I mean, I got to meet Julian there, so can't really complain. And then I got back. I just knew I wanted to get the hell out of school and just play music and do something, because I knew I just didn't... Like, it gave me a lot of energy to do something.
Not to get into, you know, personal first-time experiences, but what do you mean by it made you grow up fast going to...
Well, I mean, I traveled from L.A. to Switzerland by myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know, your kids there are like, your parents aren't there, you're sick, you walk yourself, you have a fever, you have to walk yourself to the class to tell them you have a fever and go lie down. You can't just be like, oh, I'm sick, I can't go up. They'll just make you get up, you know? It's like, I mean, there's nice things to it too. I don't want to make it sound like it wasn't like an army camp, but it's definitely like you just, from being at home and like being with your parents, you're always like, you know, you can kind of, parents think to being somewhere where like they're not there at all. Never, you don't ever go home and like end your day. Your day is constantly, you know, you have a bad day, you still sit there.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you're on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that kind of thing made you, if you want to do something or if you feel you have a problem, you have to go talk to them yourself.
You know. So you kind of, it was sort of like, you know, freshman year of college, but 5 years earlier.
Yeah, that's pretty much how my dad described it too. He's like, it's kind of like college. I was like, oh, that sounds like fun.
So what does your dad think of this solo record?
I think it's great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you share it with him before it came out? And
I sent him the first song when I was done, just cause I thought it was interesting, but then I just kind of kept everything really quiet for a long time. I showed a few friends, and funny enough, I sent it to Rick Ocasek, who gave me a lot of confidence in the middle of the record. He heard it and really liked it and invited me over and sat down and just like told me he thought I was really good and I should really continue to do it, which was nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick.
Love you. That's an endorsement. So. Do you think that when you get back in with the Strokes and start working again, is this going to at all, you think, change your approach to that process? Like, will you be involved in more collaboration, you think, or...?
No. Yeah. Be lying if I told you. I have no idea. I know that we'll try to figure out the best thing to do for trying to make something unique, you know?
That's yeah.
Always try to do.
Yeah. Well, you'll have a different perspective now. You'll be like, all right, I get it when Julian complains about his voice hurting or whatever.
I've always been very understanding, but yeah, for sure. I definitely, I think more so just having put myself out there, I mean, songs you play in your living room and you always think they're going to be, you know, in your living room, and then you have to play them in front of people, I think it definitely changes you.
Albert Hammond Jr. talking with the Cafe's Jim McGuinn. And now some performances in the studio. We'll start off with this version of Everybody Gets a Star.
Thank you.
Well, I went too far. Oh, that's all I've got to say. By the way she looks, I should have calmed down. Well, I went too far. That's all I'll say.
Noticing the change, we are taking time, and everybody knows, and everybody's fine, and we'll figure out our purpose in the end, unless we have to jump, unless we have to swim. Hold your tongue, raise yourself. Show me what I miss. Oh. Well, can I find a foe? Well, can I drop a dime? Well, can I get alone? I'm running out of time. And we'll have a toast to what it's all about. Unless they move us on, unless they move us out. Hold your tongue, brace yourself, and give me a kiss, and show me what I miss.
Finishing up our session today with Albert Hammond Jr. in the studio, that is Postal Blowfish, which some of you may recognize as a Guided by Voices song, which is also on the new solo album, Yours to Keep. Our thanks to Albert Hammond Jr. and also to Jim McGuinn. We'll be back with some Amy Winehouse coming up when we get back here to the World Cafe.